hold it as long as it is braced, he thought. If it relaxes in sleep, my left hand will wake me as the line goes out. It is hard on the right hand, but he is used to punishment. Even if I sleep 20 minutes or a half hour, it is good. He lay forward, cramping himself against the line with all of his body, putting all his weight onto his right hand, and he was asleep. He did not dream of the lions, but instead of a vast school of porpoises that stretched for 8 or 10 miles, and it was in the time of their mating, and they would leap high into the air and return into the same hole they had made in the water when they leaped. Then he dreamed that he was in the village on his bed, and there was a norther, and he was very cold, and his right arm was asleep because his head had rested on it instead of a pillow. After that, he began to dream of the long yellow beach, and he saw the first of the lions come down onto it in the early dark. And then the other lions came, and he rested his chin in the wood of the boughs where the ship lay anchored with the evening offshore breeze, and he waited to see if there would be more lions, and he was happy. The moon had been up for a long time, but he slept on, and the fish pulled on steadily, and the boat moved into the tunnel of clouds. He woke with the jerk of his right fist coming up against his face, and the line burning out through his right hand. He had no feeling of his left hand, but he braked all he could with his right, and the line rushed out. Finally, his left hand found the line, and he leaned back against the line, and now it burned his back and his left hand was taking all the strain and cutting badly. He looked back at the coils of line, and they were feeding smoothly. Just then the fish jumped, making a great bursting of the ocean, and then a heavy fall. Then he jumped again and again, and the boat was going fast, although line was still racing out, and the old man was raising the strain to breaking point, and raising it to breaking point again and again. He had been pulled down tight onto the bow, and his face was in the cut slice of dolphin, and he could not move. "This is what we waited for," he thought. "So now let us take it. Make him pay for the line," he thought. "Make him pay for it." He could not see the fish's jumps, but only heard the breaking of the ocean and the heavy splash as he fell. The speed of the line was cutting his hands badly, but he'd always known this would happen, and he tried to keep the cutting across the calloused parts and not let the line slip into the palm nor cut the fingers. If the boy was here, he would wet the coils of line, he thought. Yes, if the boy were here. If the boy were here. The line went out and out and out, but it was slowing now, and he was making the fish earn each inch of it. Now he got his head up from the wood and out of the slice of fish that his cheek had crushed. Then he was on his knees, and then he rose slowly to his feet. He was seeding line, but more slowly all the time. He worked back to where he could feel with his foot the coils of line that he could not see. There was plenty of line still, and now the fish had to pull the friction of all that new line through the water. Yes, he thought, and now he has jumped more than a dozen times and filled the sacks along his back with air. He cannot go down deep to die where I cannot bring him up. He will start circling soon, and I must work on him. I wonder what started him so suddenly. Could it have been hunger that made him desperate? Or was he frightened by something in the night? Maybe he suddenly felt fear. But he was such a calm, strong fish, and he seemed so fearless and so confident. It is strange. "You better be fearless and confident yourself, old man," he said. "You're holding him again, but you cannot get line. But soon he has to circle." The old man held him with his left hand in his shoulders now and stooped down and scooped up water in his right hand to get the crushed dolphin flesh off of his face. He was afraid that it might nauseate him, and he would vomit and lose his strength. When his face was cleaned, he washed his right hand in the water over the side, and then let it stay in the salt water while he watched the first light come before the sunrise. "He's headed almost east," he thought. "That means he's tired and going with the current. Soon he will have to circle. Then our true work begins." After he judged that his right hand had been in the water long enough, he took it out and looked at it. "It is not bad," he said, "and pain does not matter to a man." He took hold of the line carefully so that it did not fit into any of the fresh line cuts and shifted his weight so that he could put his left hand into the sea on the other side of the skiff. "You did not do so badly for something worthless," he said to his left hand.